Mountain Big Book Step Study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please join me in welcoming our panel this evening. We have Justin and Brody. I will read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Brody.
My name is Brody and I am an alcoholic.
Brody. Hi, Brody.
I have a home group. It's the Nemo Parkway group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we meet on Thursdays at 7:30 on Nemo Parkway. And my sobriety date is February 13th, 2019. And just really quickly, when I took my first drink at 18, and when I took that drink, I got a sense of belonging and a sense of ease and comfort that I had never experienced before. And I fell in love with drinking, and I took every opportunity I could to drink for the next 4 years. Over that course of that 4 years, alcohol slowly and painfully persuaded me that I could not stop drinking on my own and that I needed help. And I ended up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And even at that point, I still was not willing to ask for help. I sat in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for a couple of months, not doing anything differently, and nothing in my life changed. I could not imagine life with or without alcohol. I had reached, you know, what the book calls that jumping off point. And finally, I got to the point where I was so scared of drinking again that I asked another man who was properly armed with the facts about himself to help me get and stay sober. And that was my first sponsor. And he quickly took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And doing the work up to this point in the book, step 10, things started to happen in my life. You know, I love the idea, spiritual actions have spiritual consequences, good and bad. And doing the spiritual actions as outlined in this book, you know, I've experienced the promises as outlined in this book, and it's a beautiful thing. So this reading, step 10, this is the culmination of the first 9 steps. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory, step 4, and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along, step 9. We vigorously commenced this way of living, not way to quit drinking, way of living as we cleaned up the past. So this tells me I'm getting right into step 10 while I'm doing my 9th step. This is happening as I'm cleaning up the wreckage of my past. And what is the main purpose of step 10? For me, it's to not make any more wreckage. It's to clean it up as I make it, because I will. It tells me when these crop up, I'm going to be dishonest, resentment, and fearful. I'm going to be selfish. And for me, it's about cleaning that up as soon as, what are these words? Vigorously, immediately, quickly, resolutely. There's nothing slow about any of that. You know, this paragraph tells me that I need to proceed with vigor, that I need to proceed with resolve. And this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. My first sponsor summed this up in three words. Watch, which is, you know, watch for selfishness. Pause, which comes out of the 12 and 12 in step 10. It tells us to pause and to ask God at once to remove these things. And then turn, when we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. What's the easiest way for me to get out of myself? I've been shown is to help somebody else. Because that is not my intuitive thought. That has never been my intuitive thought. You know, when I'm upset, when I'm operating on my willpower, it's all about me. Everything is about me. And the book tells me that I'm my problem. And it's just so it's so different than how I would have ever behaved before, you know, having a little bit of knowledge about myself and a little bit of willingness and open-mindedness to do something differently. And, you know, having a God of my understanding in my life, who I can try to do his will instead of my will. And that last sentence in the paragraph, love and tolerance of others is our code. That was not my code before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I did what I wanted when I wanted to, and everyone else, you know, I could care less about. Now, if I thought I could get something from you, then I would pursue that as long as I could, but it was not out of love and tolerance, that's for sure. And, you know, that is not something that I do perfectly now, especially with the people closest to me, and especially while I'm out on the road. You know, that is a difficult time for me to be loving and tolerant. And but having the outline of a way of living today and being able to continue this and having actionable steps to take that I know work and improve my life, it's such a gift. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Freddie.
An alcoholic named Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Man, there's so much in here. So I'll start off the same way Brody did. I've been sober for about, I quit drinking on March 25th of 2007. And then I white knuckled it for a couple of months until I was able to get back to the States and found my way into the rooms of AA the day after I got back. And so that's my chosen sobriety date is May 17th of 2007. Not coincidentally, my mom's sober date is 2 days before that. And I know many other alcoholics that are close to me that have sobriety dates right near me. That was one of my first signs that God was already doing something for me that I couldn't do for myself. A God that I didn't even want to use the word for when I got here. That was one of the things that kept me away from AA and anything spiritual for a really long time, was complete ignorance and complete distrust of your words of religious or religions or anything spiritual. I have a home group. I have the best home group in all of Virginia Beach. It is the Sandbridge Big Book Study. We meet Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. If you have a problem with what I just said, talk to your sponsor and then ask what you're doing to make your home group the best. I have a sponsor who knows he's my sponsor because I annoy the shit out of him every weekday morning at 8:30 when he picks up. Just kidding. He's here. And I make myself available to take other people through the steps in the precise manner that I was taken through the steps. The very first week that I came into AA, a guy came up to me at my fourth meeting and he said, "Hey, I'll be your temporary sponsor until you figure out, you know, what you want to do." And I said, "Okay." because I had no clue what the hell. I was completely baffled and confused on what was going on in my life. I was, I don't think I truly understood the word hopeless, but I knew that that's what I felt. And I was out of options when I got here. And so your guys' suggestions sounded pretty good because despite the fact that you all looked, well, not all of you looked maniacal, but many of you did. And that kind of actually gave me a little bit of comfort because you looked as crazy as I felt, yet you genuinely seemed to have like a sparkle in your eye. You genuinely seemed to have something comforting about you. And then I found quickly that you genuinely shared your honest experiences. That terrified me at first because you were laughing about the shit that you had done that I drank over for 20 years. And I got over that right away by coming to understand what this book has told me. And that is that the reason this book was created was to help me to find a power greater than myself by which I could get over my selfishness, right? And I didn't know any of that when I came here. So I started working with the sponsor right away. I'm working with my third sponsor now. It's nice to be back in this room. About 10 years ago, my second sponsor started a meeting in here, the 213 group. We met at that end of the room, so it was nothing like this meeting. Now on to step 10. I love the fact that they used the word suggest again. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. And they use words like suggests because, as I've read in here, we alcoholics are sensitive, though we don't like to think so. The step written on 59 says, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. It doesn't say when we were wrong, mulled it over, thought about pointing our finger at someone else, came up with excuses, held on to resentments. It doesn't say any of that. It says when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That's not a fucking suggestion. Pardon my language. Sorry. That to me sounds like something that I am supposed to do. It sounds directive in nature, as does much of the rest of the paragraph here, right? It says, it tells us what we are supposed to do. But here's the part that I've come to hold on to most tightly today, right? And this, what I've come to understand through the years of sticking around here is the things that I absolutely believed and knew yesterday may not be exactly the same as today, and they're probably going to continue to change. And the biggest part of that is it says this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. And that gives me great hope. I mean, tremendous hope that I didn't even have here. That first line where it says, continue to take personal inventory, I couldn't do that when I got here, right? I was so busy pointing my finger at everything and everyone around me and being disgruntled with all of the woes of the world and not able to take responsibility for anything. In fact, anytime that I felt even a twinge of having been caught or some remorse, or now I understand resentments better. I used all of those things as an excuse to continue to drink more so that I could blot out and bury all of my feelings deep inside. When I was in the Navy, my favorite saying was, F your feelings. And I used that all the time before I got sober. And then I read about myself in here and I find out that, oh my God, my problem is my feelings. And that was scary. And I felt like I didn't like that. So I needed to do something about it. So why is it that we've gotten to step 10? And why is it that I continue to take personal inventory? Earlier in this chapter, it describes the alcoholic as being like a tornado roaring through people's lives. And when I step on the toes of my fellows, they inevitably retaliate. And that's how I've lived my entire life. But I don't see that as I'm doing it before getting sober. Right. And I'm sure I keep saying before I got sober, I still do this, right? I do it far less than I used to, but I do step on the toes. But this gives me the direction to take when I do, because like Brody was saying, I'm going to do it. It tells me when these crop up, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, those things are going to come back up. The problem is for this alcoholic, I've come to understand that the alcohol was but a symptom or a symbol, right? It was the one thing that gave me ease and comfort when I was stuck in the throes of my active addiction. Without the alcohol, I'm prone to all sorts of erratic behavior, even more erratic than when I was drinking. I was a pretty benign and happy drunk most of the time. In fact, when I got sober, a lot of people asked, don't you really want to start drinking again? Because without a solution, every time I quit drinking, I was way worse when I wasn't drinking. So without being able to drink to solve and push down and bury all of those feelings, I don't have any manner to deal with the squirrels racing through my head, the heart palpitations, the sweaty palms, and all the things that make me uncomfortable. I don't have a way of dealing with that until I come in here and you guys show me how to do. Having taken the steps over and over and over again, I have had what they describe in the back of the book is a spiritual experience. This higher power that I have found, and I found a higher power by one person's comment. They said that they had gotten out of the debating society. To this day, and that was almost 15 years ago, to this day, I don't know if they were talking about higher power or God. I chose to hear that they had gotten out of the debating society on whether there is or isn't. That is the tack that I took right away, and that has worked phenomenally well. This higher power that I get to put faith and trust into, that's where I get to turn all of this over to. So that is the solution today for all of those things that make me uncomfortable. When I am restless, irritable, and discontent. When I see the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, today I get to turn those things over. And I get to do something better for those around me. And like Brody said, before we even started, I will talk too much. So I'm going to shut the hell up right there.
All right. We're going to continue reading on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Brody?
A Brody alcoholic.
Brody.
Real quick, I want to go back to this paragraph right above. I totally glossed over that super important sentence right in the middle. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And for me, step 10, 11, and 12, I don't like to call them maintenance steps. I like to call them growth steps, because that's what I'm tasked with doing here, is growing in understanding and effectiveness. And, that for me, that kind of shifts my entire perspective of 10 and 11 and 12. So I just wanted to touch on that briefly. So what we just read are known, in AA as the 10th step promises. These things happened for me after I started doing the 10th step. Just like for me, the ninth step promises came true after I started doing the ninth step. And it's my understanding that this is where we've been. This is evidence of us being returned to sanity. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. So this is a direct kind of connection to step two. Proof that God has returned us to sanity. We will seldom be interested in liquor, and if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. In my experience, I can go anywhere on earth as long as I'm spiritually fit. I can go down the wine aisle at Walmart. I can go to a bar if I'm going there for the right reasons, if I'm going there to be helpful. And I'm not tempted by liquor. I'm not tempted by the atmosphere if I'm on a so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. For me, the effort is continuing to take the spiritual actions. And it wraps it up again at the end of the paragraph. So long as we keep in fit spiritual condition, God is going to give me these things that it outlines here if I continue to do the work. When I have stopped doing the work in the past, I notice that I start becoming restless, irritable, and discontented. I notice those commercials on the TV start grabbing my attention a whole lot more, you know? It's amazing. The big book is so amazing. It is so clear. Once I was shown by someone who had an understanding of this book, all this stuff started jumping out at me. It's, you know, if this, then this. As long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, all of these promises are mine to claim. And it goes on to say, we feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. And for me, that is a direct result of taking the steps. That is a direct result of having had a spiritual experience. And that's all the steps are, is a guidebook to having a spiritual experience and a guide to finding a God of my understanding, who will give me these things and who will protect me. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. It's just, you know, I almost like these. I think I do like these set of promises a little bit more than the ninth step. My old home group used to read these at the end of the meeting. And it just comes, that is the miracle of it. And all, you know, a miracle I've come to understand is just something that's happening that shouldn't be happening. I should not be sitting here sober on a Monday night sharing with you all how much I love the program of AA. I should be out there drunk because I'm an alcoholic. And I never thought that I would be in a place where I can say, I don't want to drink today. And that's why for me, you know, these promises have a lot of weight, and they mean a lot to me. And I do believe that everyone sitting in here tonight who's sober is a miracle. And it's such a beautiful thing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Curtis. What a profound concept that the idea of getting sober is not to make me feel better, but it's so that I can learn how to be of service. Right? A design for living. And I absolutely didn't have a design for a living. You know, the military is a great place for drunks like me. you get to work hard and build up all sorts of accolades. And right when you're burning everything down around you, you get to transfer and you get to go somewhere else and you get to start all over again and do it all over again. And until you don't, or until you start getting caught, or until you're ready to end it because you've become as hopeless as I got. I was absolutely beat down to the point where something had to change, right? I had quit so many times. I quit drinking so many times that I quit quitting. And this analogy that is throughout the first five chapters, I think it's just the first five chapters where they talk about we are building an arch through which we get to walk a free man. And when I first came in here, you know, so 2 weeks into this deal, I'm calling my sponsor every morning, calling Mickey at 6:30 in the morning on my way to work. And it's like day 12 and I'm bitching and pissing and moaning about something going on. And he says, shut the hell up. And I was like, if you haven't developed resentments at your sponsor, you might ask how hard you're working your program. I'm just kidding. I developed resentments at all my sponsors. Anyways, he said, shut the hell up, listen to you. And I'm like, whoa. And he says, did you think about drinking this morning? I'm like, it's 6:30. And then I thought about it. I was like, no, I didn't think about drinking this morning. He said, did you think about drinking last night? And I said, or he said, did you drink last night? And I said, no. Like, why do you got to ask? Don't you trust me? Because it's all about me. And then he said, did you think about drinking yesterday? And holy shit. Not only had I not thought about drinking that morning, the night before, but it had been a couple of days. And that was the first time in years that I hadn't been obsessed with either drinking or trying to get some drink or some ease and comfort from something else if I couldn't get the drink. And so that was my second God shot, right? That was a, oh my God, right? And that's what this says is when we do this step, that is going to happen. I'm going to be relieved from that compulsion to drink. I'm not going to have that obsession anymore. It was already lifted and I had barely done the first step at that point, right? But so when we get to this, I get to reflect back on that. And that does a couple of things. It reaffirms my faith in this higher power that I'm to this day still working towards understanding, right? I got out of the debating society whether there is or isn't. I also stopped trying to figure out what my higher power is because, I mean, who the hell am I to think that I can define what my higher power is? I mean, that would be kind of, I mean, yes, I would expect my old self to do that, to try and define that. But now today, I've learned that's probably not the best idea. So that arch through which we get to walk, that freedom from drink is phenomenal, right? Because I thought that that was my problem for years. I could not find a way to stop drinking effectively and still live, right? To stop thinking about killing myself if I wasn't drinking. And the real freedom that they're talking about is the freedom from self. And that is the most remarkable thing. And I think for the most part, I walked through that arch, a free man, like it says in the book. This guy likes to tap dance backwards through the arch sometimes and take back some of my control of things, some of my what I think is power over something or someone, some situation, because, you know, I'll tell you the right thing to do, just to ask me, right? I know better because I'm experienced. Just ask me. I will tell you. I have a tendency to take back those things, right? And to want to control the situation, right? And we just read that those things are going to come back up. And for me, the biggest one is fear. It pops up all the damn time. It pops up all the time. I have children. I have a spouse. People that have a job, unlike me, probably have fears over their job sometimes, right? You know, maybe the guy that employs us having a stroke or something, right? We have these fears that pop back up. But I get to continue to grow in effectiveness and understanding. If I can share my fears, not just turn that over to a higher power, but if I can use the stuff that's going on with me to help somebody else understand that they're not alone, to help somebody else understand that they get to be one of the bunch here. One of the most unbelievable things that has happened to me is letting my daughter see me be vulnerable to a point where I can screw up and I can let her see that I can make amends with her, and I can let her see that she can do the same thing, right? Without the fear becoming so burdensome that I have to make everything a certain way. I can do that. I don't always do that, but I get to notice it today, and I get to take some corrective actions, just like this says. I get to stay in action in all of my affairs. The other sentence here, like Brody was talking about, with these promises, all of these things I get to experience, and I do, I experience them over and over again. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Okay, that can be probably not really open to interpretation, but my impression today on what fit spiritual condition is a lot more effort than I thought it was just a few years ago. There's so much more work that I get to do today to remain in fit spiritual condition. So much more maintenance, as it says. We have a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. That's what I get today. So that means that when I wake up in the morning, so far, I haven't been God smacked so much that I've woken up and gone, everything's wonderful. I know my mission right away is to help everybody. I don't wake up like that. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe that'll happen one day, but I don't wake up thinking about how I can help you. I wake up thinking about the shit that hurts. I wake up thinking about, I gotta pee because I'm getting older. I wake up thinking about stuff like that. I usually hit snooze at least on one of my three alarm clocks. And I'm like, oh. And then during all of that, I hit some AA stuff on my nightstand, and I'm like, that's right. I've got work to do. And that's how my morning starts almost every day. Some days I do wake up and I feel like, oh shit, I get to go be of service. I have had those days. I wish there were more. And maybe that will happen at some point. But I get to do this work to try and remain in fit spiritual condition. And I've talked too much.
All right, we're going to continue the reading over on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Brody alcoholic.
Brody.
So they just go through and they give us all these beautiful promises. And then they give us this caveat at the end. And then the next sentence is a warning. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. So I've done all these great, great things. I've taken the steps. I'm making amends. I think I'm doing the deal. And then I start getting up in the morning and not doing my own awakening. I start going through my day and not thinking about who I can help and not talking to God and running my life on self-propulsion again and saying, oh, that stuff I did yesterday will keep me sober. Well, I can tell you the drinks I drank yesterday never got me drunk today. I have to work this program every day to maintain to keep in fit spiritual condition. So it goes on and says, we're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. The big book tells me that I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And then it tells me here, I'm not cured of alcoholism. This is something that I'm always going to carry with me. But what I really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I have to do the work on a daily basis. And I love in this next little part, it says every day is a day when we must, not we should or we suggest you, this is must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And again, that is not a natural state for me. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action for me. I find myself doing it constantly. I find myself getting caught up in the day where I'm not asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? I'm off doing whatever Brody wants to do. I often find myself working the program of Broholics Brononymous. And that's not what it tells me to do here. It says that I can exercise my will if it aligns with God's will. That is the proper use of the will. And again, for me, being shown this and being around the rooms and in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's very clear to me now. Again, I don't, just like Justin, I don't wake up in the morning and want to be spiritual. That is not my default. This is practice. This is work. This takes action. It says it all throughout these paragraphs. And it's been, it gets a little easier, you know, as I practice this and as I let God discipline me in this way, it does get easier. But it's something that I deliberately have to set out to do or I won't do it. And, you know, I think about that idea of, you know, while I'm in here, alcoholism's outside in the parking lot doing pushups. You know, it's like, it's a subtle foe. It's always there. And I suffer from a progressive disease. If I stop doing this work and, you know, take the steps backwards and go back out, and I'll pick up right where I left off, and or worse. And it's just a constant. I found that it's not linear for me. I take two steps back and then three steps forward. I step over to the side a little bit. I tap dance outside of the arch, you know, like Justin was saying. And I don't pick up the drink, but I remember, oh yeah, this is what happens when I don't do the work. And that propels me into doing the work again, because I want to be, on some level, I want to be of service and I want to be spiritually fit and I want to be doing the right things. I want this new life that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, but I still have my alcoholism. I still have my selfishness. I still have, you know, my character defects, laziness and procrastination and all these things. And so it's a constant, thing that I have to give to God, and I have to let God discipline me, because it's not, self-will cannot overcome self-will. You know, I have to give these things over to God to handle, and I just have to keep doing the next right thing as it presents itself. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Brad. I don't know if anybody else's book has it written on page 85, but mine now has Broholics Anonymous, Brody 130-23. I had to pull down the definition of suggestion, an idea or plan put forward for consideration. The action of suggesting something. At my suggestion, the museum held an exhibition of work, something that implies or indicates a certain fact or situation. The reason I looked that up is, like Brody was saying, you know, it uses the word must in here twice down towards the end of it. These are the things that we have to do. Those don't sound like suggestions. Those aren't suggestions, rather. I hear, in the rooms constantly, people discuss that the program is suggestive in nature. And the analogy that I heard early on was that that suggestion is very similar to the one that you're given when you go skydiving, and that when you jump out of the airplane, it is suggested that you pull the cord that opens your parachute, because that can save your life. Taking the 12 steps as outlined in this book can have a similar effect. They can save one's life. But more importantly, they can allow me, I don't want to be selfish. I have looked back on my life over and over again, and I never sought out to be a selfish person. I was very selfish in all of my affairs. And in fact, I went through this horrible iteration in early sobriety where I went back through every part of my life. And I looked at all the times where I thought I was doing something for someone else. And I saw that almost every single time, in fact, I think I saw that every single time that I could write down and discover, I was trying to get something from someone or something out of a situation. That was incredibly humbling, disheartening, right? The great fact, though, was that it proved to me that I was living a certain way without a solution, right? Because I knew that even back then that I didn't want to be selfish, but I didn't have any other way of living. Didn't know how to be selfless. That wasn't in my repertoire. That word altruistic, that was not a part of my repertoire either. The Navy has this incredible initiation, Chief's Initiation. And the biggest part of going through Chief's Initiation, the parallels with AA are uncanny. There's unity, service, and navigation, right? And here we have unity, service, and recovery. And I went through initiation, and I didn't get shit when it comes to learning a new way of life from it, right? I was given all sorts of directions where I could have picked up the tools that were very similar to this, but I didn't, right? I kept on living the way I was living and drinking with the people that drank like me because I could. What I've been given here is this: you guys didn't tell me that I had to do anything when I got here. You guys said, if you want what we have, then do what we do. And you laid these spiritual tools at my feet, and you said, not only those tools can help save your life, and they can help build and grow and help you to be of service for other people, but if you come along with us, we'll show you how to use those tools. And that's the wonderful part about this fellowship and working with others, right? And the whole next chapter is devoted specifically on that, working with others. That is the tremendous thing that I get to do today, is to not just be a recovered alcoholic. And don't get me wrong, that's fantastic. In fact, when Brody was talking, there's a guy at one of the other meetings that I frequent. He bristles every time somebody says recovered alcoholic. And so contrary to the recommendations from my sponsor, I use my recovery as a weapon. And I purposely, anytime that guy's around, I say I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I don't say that every time, but I do when he's around. But that is the truth of it. I don't want to stay recovering, right? What has happened in my life and for everybody around me is things get better, right? Because of the fact that I'm recovered from the hopeless state of mind that I was in when I got here, I can see things in a completely different light, right? That selfishness gets removed, much like the drink problem, in the exact same or to the exact same extent that I put in the work. And that's what this is outlining, right? What we really have is a daily reprieve. Today, having a drink in the next 4 hours sounds like a horrible idea. And I have a good notion that I can make it 4 hours without drinking. And so then this day will have been completed sober, and my actions would have you probably lean towards the fact that I'm a recovered alcoholic, that I'm not performing the insane acts that I did before I got here. Tomorrow is a completely different story. I might wake up with a crazy ass notion and go drink. I have no idea. Right now, that sure as shit sounds like a horrible idea, not just for me, but for everything around me. And I don't want that today. And so I get to continue to practice all of these things to the best of my ability. It's, you know, the sayings that we have in these rooms are there for a reason, you know, one day at a time. It really is. Sometimes it has to be 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 breath at a time it has been, because I still get restless, irritable, and discontent. And it's wonderful that I don't have to drink over that. It's also wonderful when I can put everything into play and not have any of my other behaviors come out from those same feelings, right? So again, a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. What does maintenance of a spiritual condition look like today? It means when I get to have gratitude for Amy asking me to come and talk about my experiences, even if I've done nothing but, you know, make people confused, right? I'm sober right now. Hopefully someone has gotten something out of this, right? I get to have the appreciation of seeing people that I absolutely love in this room. And I mean that. And I can mean that today like I never meant it before. And I imagine the more I continue to do this, the more I get to love all of you, right? And I don't have to like all. It does not say anything about that, right? It doesn't use that word in here. But I do get to love all of you and practice love and tolerance, because as we read, that is my code today. Although if you ask my kids, they would tell me that some days are better than others, right? Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities, right? What does that look like today? It means when I'm restless, irritable, irritated, discontent, when I have fear, when I have resentments, that I can pause, that I can notice those things, and that I can do something about it, rather than just react to everything. I didn't even effing know that I didn't have to react and respond to everything. And this is embarrassing to say, for years into being recovered, I heard somebody say it in a meeting, you know, I don't have to accept every invitation to a fight or an argument. Wow. Oh, what a novel idea. And that is absolutely true. That had a profound change in my attitude towards those things. I get to work on that every day. All right. Must carry. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. I certainly wasn't living like there was a higher power or God in my life before I got here, because I was mostly just ignorant. Today, I get to continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness to the best of my ability. And I get to fail all the time and learn from that. And exercising our willpower along this line. When it seems like there's something that God really wants me to do, I should do it, no matter how much I don't want to. That's what that looks like to me today. Thanks.
All right, this concludes the sharing portion of our meeting. I am going to read the final paragraph, which is also on page 85, and you'll have to come back next week to hear more. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. We're going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. Seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, The seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
Hey, David.
Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober tonight, right here in this room, 4 weeks from tonight. We're having a supper and a speaker. We're going to have Debbie S. from Richmond, Virginia, come down and tell her story at the regular meeting time on February 27th. But we'll have a potluck at 6 p.m. So bring a dish, please. Show up. All are welcome. 6 p.m. potluck, 7 o'clock speaker, February 27th. There are some powder blue flyers over there on that table. What would be really awesome if you guys would take some of those with you back to your groups as you head out into the community. Just take a few. They're not doing any good here. So thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Hey, Ben. Hi, Ken. I'll say whiskey pot. We have them would like to.
Thanks, Ben.
Amanda.
Yes.
Thanks, Ed. I'm an alcoholic named Justin.
Justin.
If you are interested in taking meetings into any of the Tidewater Correctional Facilities, please see me after this meeting so I can get you more information. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Anybody else? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on the table to my left. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you need to buy a big book. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about, pardon me, sponsorship, I will be available after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come ask me questions. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Someone will get back to you. Reminders. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. Can we thank our panel again for sharing? Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come say thank you to Brody and Justin. And Rebecca has volunteered to read last few paragraphs on page 160.
Hey, Rebecca.
All right. We've got a nice way of closing.
It is nice.
I don't know why I would say that. I think that was something I heard.
I say the same thing. I
say the same thing. Okay.
That's a common.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. All right. I didn't make it up.
Yeah.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stay.
All right.
Coming back.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. Hi, Megan. Hi, Hugh.